In case you haven't yet heard, this is the centennial year for the MU School of Music. My name is Trevor Harris, the host of Mizzou Music. Over the course of this year, we are visiting with alumni, former faculty and staff members of the MU School of Music, and allies of the MU School of Music about their memories of the last, well, not 100 years. You can only talk about what you can remember. And my guest on the program this week is a member, longtime member of the Friends of Music and former director of the University Concert Series. Dr. Bill Bondison is my guest this week. Bill, thanks for coming in.
Oh, delighted to be here. This is going to be a lot of fun. A little bit of reminiscing, but that's just fine.
So you told me before we went on mic that you are not a musician specifically, but your love of music is deep.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
When did you come to Mizzou originally?
1964.
And at that point, there was no KBIA. There definitely wasn't the classical 90.5.
No.
What was the musical landscape like then?
Well, it was pretty thin. Although music has always been good and active, but it has it's come a long way. My goodness, it's come a very long way since then. There were concerts, and we went to a few, and I wasn't really very much involved in it until I went on leave for a year as an ACE fellow or something like that and came back, and we went to a couple more concerts, and I thought they were just horrible, just absolutely horrible, junky stuff, to put it bluntly. And the provost at that time, Owen Kepi was his name, we were very good friends, and he loved music too. And I went to Owen one day. I said, you know, this stuff really isn't university quality. We're an educational institution. We ought to present stuff which the students and faculty can use to stretch their minds, their educational experience, and we're just not doing it. And it was done in this crazy financial way. The committee, made of faculty, like any other faculty committee, got $25,000 from the central administration. It went out and bought enough artists to exhaust the $25,000 amount, which isn't a whole lot, but, you know, things were a lot cheaper then, too. And the revenue from ticket sales went back into the general fund. So all you had to do was take your $25,000, spend it, and when that was done, you were done. And there wasn't much incentive to push things because the artists were already funded, and that was pretty left at a sort of modest level. Well, I went to Owen and I said, you know, this is just not very good. It's not what a university should be about. And he said, tell you what I'll do, Bill. You're in charge. And he said, you can keep the money that you collect in ticket revenue. So all of a sudden, the impetus to publicize, to build an audience, to get people in the seats would be very helpful. And so that's what we did. We started off in a small way. And I will say that a lot of artists in those days were much, much less expensive. I give you one brief fact. That when we first had Itzhak Perlman, it was $8,500. The second time we had it was $16,000. The third time we had him, it was $45,000, and on and on. And that happened to a lot of the bigger names. We were fortunate enough to have St. Louis just down the street, and they came with an Arts Council grant, so we could always afford St. Louis, and that was really strong. But anyway, we gradually built it over the years and did more publicity. We expanded it. We finally had a Jesse Auditorium series, a chamber music series, and a dance series, and we also had a contemporary art series. One of the best things I ever did was we got a grant from the National Council for the Arts, and we hired Michael Buds as our audience educator. And Michael did glorious concert programs, annotated, well done, scholarly research of the first order, so you could read about this. But he also, on most nights, the concert then started at 8 o'clock, that was it. But at 7 o'clock, you could go to the Fine Arts Recital Hall, and Michael would give you a concert preview for 45 minutes. And Michael had about 200-plus people at those previews before almost every concert. Michael is the only faculty member I know who has his own fan club of people who go hear him no matter what he does, which is just wonderful. So we took the education stuff very seriously. Julie Melnick and the Honors College built a course in which the Honors College Students went to concerts and then talked about them. That went well. We had student price tickets, so they would encourage students to come. It's only right that the music students here are really good musicians. They built a course or two around it. The faculty members would often be part of Michael Budd's pre-concert program, so he needed someone to play the violin. One of the violinists would demonstrate what was going to be heard later on that evening. It was a very, I guess, informal arrangement, but it was also very close. I'll never forget one day, Don and I drove in our little car and went out to the airport, and there was an enormous crowd there, enormous people. And a kid walks off the plane, and the crowd gets all excited, and then it was some basketball person they were recruiting. But also walking off the plane was Aaron Copland. Nobody greeted him except Don and me. One of the greatest composers of all time, Mr. Copland, was here with us. And we put him in our little dinky car and drove him to the campus. And he gave there two or three concerts of his music, and he conducted one of them and all that. But it was that kind of contact with real musicians. They're people. They like to meet people. They enjoy socializing.
That's the voice of Bill Bondison. He is a longtime friend of the MU School of Music, former director of the University Concert Series, and he's been my centennial year guest this week on Mizzou Music.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for making the time.